Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Lineup podcast. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Richard Justice. We are attempting to recap Game 5 of the World Series at Minute Maid Park, where the Astros pulled off a dramatic 13-12 victory over the Dodgers. A lot to go over. Let's hear the highlights first.
Peacock ready. Now the pitch. And this one's lined into center field. Coming in for it is Springer. Dives, and it rolls past him. He missed it. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Hernandez races around third. He's going to score. Bellinger races into third base with probably a triple. It's 8-7.
1-0. And McCann drills this deep to right field. Puig is back at the wall. See you later! Ryan McCann with a home run to put the Astros up 12-9. McCann's first home run of the postseason.
1-2.
And that's lifted down the left field line toward the corner, going back Gonzalez, and that's into the Landry's Crawford boxes. Yasiel Puig able to wait on a changeup and hit it into the Crawford boxes, and it is now a 12-11 Astros lead. Here's the 2-2, and that's grounded up the middle and into center for a base hit. Barnes scores. We're tied at 12. Outfield will shorten up and shade the other way against Bregman. Infield is back. Bregman 1-for-4 tonight. First pitch. And Alex lines this into left center field. That's a base hit. Fisher around third and coming home. Ethier off with the baseball. The throw to the plate. Not in time. Astros win. Astros win.
I was so happy just to help this team win. We're up 3-2, baby.
Richard, didn't we just do this? We just got done talking about the, you know, possibly the greatest non-elimination game in World Series history. And here we are again.
Yeah.
Just like Game 2, here we are in Game 5.
Astros manager A.J. Hinch just said, well, you know, I told you that Game 2 is the greatest game ever played. This was the greatest game ever played. But for you, Anthony, was there a moment where you said, this is beyond what I can get my mind around? This is a heavyweight fight times two teams that just refuse to quit, two teams that are hurting in terms of relief, but two teams with such resilience.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to single out one moment, but I think, you know, scoring three runs in the ninth, you know, for the Dodgers, that's pretty big, a rally there in their potentially last at bat. You know, the Puig home run, you know, that's when you know we're going to yet another level. You know, it just they keep elevating the levels, kind of like a Springsteen concert where there's just another encore, another encore.
Right.
It's just that feeling.
But in the, you know, you can go back. This is a game you can replay for a week and find nooks and crannies.
Right.
George Springer messes up a play in center field, lets the ball skip past him, overly aggressive, and he makes up for it about 3 minutes later by hitting a ball. I don't know what the measurement was. It looked like it was 500 feet. And there were things like that. You knock Kershaw, you hit Kershaw hard, you come back from a deficit against Kershaw. Then you lose it again. Then you come back. At some point, you know, I'm sure in the dugout, you're just saying, I can't believe I'm part of this game.
Yeah, and to your first point about Springer, that was kind of like the as so often happens play in baseball where the guy makes a great play and then he leads off the next inning. It's kind of like a remixed version of that where he makes a terrible play, quite frankly. You know, he dives for the ball, doesn't come up with it, but as you said, minutes later, he's hitting a game-tying home run. We were rolling out the stats of Kershaw's career record. The Dodgers record when Kershaw gets four runs or more of support, and pretty extraordinary record, of course, but then that gets wiped away very quickly. Yeah, just so much to unpack here, and we'll be unpacking, of course, in this podcast, but you got to start first and foremost. This was not the pitcher's duel we expected from Clayton Kershaw and Dallas Keuchel.
No, it wasn't, and Kershaw got off to a good start. I mean, I think Dallas Keuchel struggled a little bit from the beginning, and then he just seemed to lose command of things, and the slider to Correa looked like it hung out a little bit over the plate. He lost the strike zone a little bit. But I also think you have to give the Astros credit. They were, you know, what Kershaw gets you in, you start leaning into the curveball. You start expecting the slider. You start getting yourself out. And they were very patient with that. Keuchel just seemed a little bit off from the beginning and ended up paying for it. Then it becomes a game of when do the managers pull the plug?
Right.
Both bullpens are exhausted. Mm-hmm. How far can you go without costing your team the game?
Yeah, A.J. Hinch, he wanted to, I'm sure, ride Keuchel for all he was worth, but he wasn't worth much tonight. He gets pulled in the fourth inning, and at that point, as we mentioned, it's 4-0, and you're thinking, boy, with the composition of that Astros bullpen, Clayton Kershaw on the hill, there's no chance. I mean, the Astros have no chance in this ballgame.
Right.
Lo and behold, they come back in the fourth inning. All started with a Springer walk. Then Altuve single, a Correa double scores a run, and then Yuli Gurriel hit that monstrous home run. I mean, that was a rocket.
Yeah, and that's the first point where you say, okay, it's not going to be what we thought it was tonight.
Right.
He hit a monster, and then they come right back, and then they come right back, and now you're off and you're running, you know, for a classic. And things happen. Brandon Morrow has pitched in every game of the World Series. Dave said before the game he's not going to pitch. Brandon said during the game, I can pitch. This day started with A.J. Hinch announcing Ken Giles would not be his closer, which meant, okay, who's going to get the last three outs?
Right.
I have no idea. I'm going to play matchups.
He had no idea. You know, one thing that stands out to me, Richard, how do you feel if you're Cody Bellinger in this ball game? You hit a go-ahead three-run home run in the fifth inning. You hit a go-ahead RBI triple in the seventh inning. And you score a key run in the ninth inning, and you lose the ball game anyway.
Yeah, it's devastating, and I don't know, you know, how do you come back from this? How do you gather yourself and all of that? There, you know, what the Astros said was, look, our starter had a bad game, but what we do here is we pick each other up. They've picked us up plenty of times this year, and you know the Dodgers are saying the same thing. Hey, but you know, they need a day off and regroup and see where they're at in game six.
Richard, you mentioned the decision to go to Brandon Morrow. That was not in the original plan. Here's Dave Roberts explaining what happened.
He called down and said that he felt good. He was throwing today. He felt good. And he called in the middle of the game and said, hey, if we take the lead, I want to pitch. I want the ball. My body feels good. And so in the seventh inning right there, you know, you can't turn him down. He felt good. He wanted to be in the game. And it's a credit to him to be used like he has been and want the baseball.
Richard, Brandon Morrow might have felt good. He didn't look very good. It got out of hand in a hurry in the seventh inning. Springer, as we mentioned, hit that home run after the defensive gaffe. And Bregman singles. Altuve doubles to score Bregman. And then Carlos Correa hits that it was the highest elevation home run for him in the career, a Crawford box shot that scores another two
up.
Runs.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those where Brandon Morrow clearly didn't have it. First time he's pitched 3 days in a row. First time he's pitched five times in 6 days. It just did not have his stuff.
But do you think that this, what we're seeing in these bullpens, is accumulation of the way managers have managed this postseason? You know, last year was the super reliever. Andrew Miller comes in and saves the day. Everybody was looking for that. This year, it's get the starter out in the third inning, the fourth inning, and I can figure it out from there. Well, it's starting to take a toll on all these guys. You know, how much more can you expect of Kenley? How many more six outs saves can you ask for? And using certain guys and not using other guys, and I don't think either manager has any confidence. Now, Kenley Jansen was the one guy you come in tonight saying, okay, this is the guy I still believe
in.
You know, it's obvious that A.J. Hinch just is going to go with the matchups and hope something works out, hope somebody hits a rocket at somebody.
He's used Brandon Morrow in all but one game in the Dodgers postseason run. He's used him in every one of these World Series games. And I don't know, maybe it speaks to Richard. We have the right amount of rounds in October because you mentioned Andrew Miller last year. We saw it with him as well. He had this incredible month, but he did run out of gas by those last couple games of the 2016 World Series. And, you know, maybe that is mental, knowing this is the last go, but I think it's very much physical that you can only get so much. You can only squeeze the, you know, so much juice out of the fruit.
Well, it's so frantic that I hope when everybody goes back and looks at how it unfolded, like there are times you're going to have to stay with guys.
Yeah.
And I know there's a, you know, what every manager feels the same way. I've got to win today and I'll worry about tomorrow. But at some point you're going to hit a wall.
Yeah, and you wonder.
The wall has been hit.
The wall has definitely been hit. I mean, it's so easy to, you know, nitpick and poke holes and that sort of thing. I mean, there's the argument that maybe he stuck with Kershaw too long, although, again, the bullpen being as taxed as it is, it's hard to support that argument too vehemently.
Well, he's Clayton Kershaw. And you think, okay, he can figure it out and find it back. Until the very, you know, when they came back and got the tied the game back or got the three-run lead back for him, I thought, okay, he's going to lock back in and get it figured out. He just, when he got out of sync, he could not find it again. And then you're in big trouble when you're matching up bullpens, you know, neither manager has any confidence in.
And once again, he has to go to Kenley Jansen for multiple innings, which once again does not work out well. You know, there is one. Maybe Kenley Jansen should have been game earlier. You know, you think about the way things unfolded in the innings start to run together after a while.
But
in the ninth inning,
the
Dodgers put together a three-run inning to tie the game. You know, maybe that's a scenario where they're taking the lead if Jansen comes in, you know, in the eighth inning.
You know, the truth of the matter
before
is,
the McCann home run.
Like, after you don't get anything, you don't get what you wanted out of Keuchel, you're in a bad spot.
Right,
and
exactly.
You're just basically drawing
exactly.
names out of a hat. You know, people say, well, this matchup, that matchup.
Right.
These guys are tired. It's not, you know, you're not getting June stuff out of the guys, and you just try to play the matchups as best you can. And I think the Astros bullpen gave up, what, 8 runs tonight? And so it was that kind of game. It was who's going to slug last.
And they certainly did that. Richard, A.J. Hinch had said he was not going to use Ken Giles in Game 5. He stayed true to his word there. Bullpen gives up 8 runs anyway, with even without Ken Giles pitching. But, you know, that speaks to our, you know, just firing at the target and trying to do the best you can. But I understand staying away from Giles, but there was not a lot of great options back there.
Well, he needed 6 innings or 7 innings out of Keuchel. And then would try to figure it out.
Right.
And I don't think he planned to use Brad Peacock. One day's rest after throwing 50-something pitches. And I think he planned for him to piggyback in Game 6 or Game 7. But, you know, you had to just see, what can you give us, Brad? Can you give us anything? So he wasn't going to use Giles to get the last 3 outs. And I think he was just paraded them out there in terms of Harris and Davinsky and Musgrove and say, can I find a hot hand? He went to Colin McHugh, hadn't pitched in 13 days.
Right.
And he pitched the way you would expect a guy to pitch on 13 days rest, the same day, pretty much the same way Brandon McCarthy pitched in Game 2. You know, I think you pay a price for when you shorten your bullpen, you shorten your bench, and just ask a few guys to pitch a lot of innings, and this comes back to bite you. On the other hand, you know, here we are. These two teams are in Game 6. I've just played Game 5 of the World Series, so there obviously something has worked.
I even saw a Francisco Liriano sighting in the bullpen, warming in the bullpen. Not in the game, but he was in the building.
I started counting how many days rest he had, and I couldn't count that high. honestly, I don't understand it, because they got him to pitch to left-handers.
Right.
His numbers against left-handers are pretty good.
Yeah.
I would think there are points along the way where you got to get a guy back in the game. And it was a reminder when McCarthy was rusty that, okay, now we're going to face this with McHugh. But the end of the bottom line is they're out of pitching, and they needed more from Keuchel. When they didn't get it, they needed to go to Peacock, and they didn't want to. They needed to go to McHugh, and they knew that was dangerous. And then you're in the late innings, and it's a race to 27.
Yeah.
Are they going to bash out more runs than us as we try to get the 27th?
Well, and I'm not trying to bash a team that's one win away from the World Series,
right.
But it does stand out when you see Cody Bellinger doing Cody Bellinger-type stuff from the left-hand side, and they don't have that reliable left-on-left guy. It was something they certainly sought at the trade deadline. They ended up with Francisco Liriano, who was, you know, a starter that converts
to
the bullpen.
And that's part of what's happened in this World Series is that in Game 2, George Springer got going, and I think the Astros feed off of him. He'd had a couple of bad games. And I think the same way with Cody Bellinger in the middle of the lineup. He sort of changes the way we look at the Dodgers offensively.
So there weren't a lot of great bullpen decisions to be made by A.J. Hinch with the composition of the pen right now, but he did make a great decision in the 10th inning. Turned out to be a winning decision, putting Derek Fisher in as a pinch runner for Brian McCann. McCann had been hit by a pitch from Jansen with 2 out. He advanced to second on a walk from George Springer. And then Fisher's brought in at that moment and ends up scoring the winning run when Alex Bregman comes through with the base hit.
Yeah, I think it's a gutsy decision. You know, you're 2 outs and you think, okay, we're gonna try to win this thing now in the 11th inning. But I think he saw an opportunity. He put Fisher into the game. I think he saw that he had to go for the win. You know, it was a 2-out rally. McCann gets hit. He's at first, okay. He's not going to score. The joke is going to take 4 singles for him to score from first. But then when Springer draws the huge walk,
right.
Two things are obvious. One is you don't want to go ask your bullpen to get another out. You got to try to go for the win right here. Bregman had a nice at bat against Jansen last night in Game 4 and hit a home run. And this is your chance. This is your chance to try to win the game. So you pinch run Fisher and put him in position to win the game. And Bregman came through again. You know, when you go through this, there's about 15 heroes. But those boys at the top of the lineup, Bregman and Correa and Altuve and Springer, they had pretty historic nights.
Yeah, and a slow game ends with one of the fastest runners in baseball.
A slow game,
Derek Fisher.
5 hours and 17 minutes.
But Fisher is 17th in sprint speed this season. He gets from third to home in 3.18 seconds. I don't think you or I could do that, quite frankly. Even if our lives depended on it. But, obviously a wise move there by A.J. Hinch, because, as you said, you got to go for the throat there with the bullpen going the way it is.
Yeah, and that's it. And, you know, you can say, okay, Jay, why didn't you pinch run earlier? But he didn't have a runner in scoring position, and he's thinking, okay, they're in trouble from a pitching standpoint. We're not sure what we have, but at the point where you think you can do it, he's basically saying, I think Alex Bregman's going to win the game for us.
And he did just that. Bregman was part of a top of the order. The top five hitters in the Astros lineup went 12 for 23 with four homers and four walks. Altuve had a huge night. Carlos Correa had a huge night. Bregman, of course, was the hero in the 10th inning. Springer, of course, as we mentioned, redeemed himself. It was just a monstrous performance from that top of the order.
Yeah, and I think one thing is they were being more patient than they normally are. They are a very aggressive team, especially Altuve and Springer. And tonight you could see them feeling around for the strike zone, forcing Kershaw to throw pitches, forcing Morrow to throw pitches, especially forcing Jansen to throw pitches and making them just being a little more disciplined in the strike zone. And this is something that had really worried the Astros when they lost three in a row to the Yankees in New York and came back, got back in the ALCS, came back home down 3-2. And you just saw the at-bats get better. Mm-hmm. And I guess that kind of thing comes and goes, but they are really good.
Altuve, true MVP moments tonight. You know, the three-run home run in the fifth that tied it back up at seven. The RBI double in the seventh, of course. He's just, when he gets going, you know, he's been searching for it at various points in this postseason right. For like a couple games at a time, and he always finds it.
He's an interesting guy in that, you know, obviously his bat speed, his hand speed is as good as there is in baseball. He's won three batting titles with that bat speed and hand speed. But there's a fire in him, and when he feels like he's looking bad or a pitcher's made him look bad, it's a real burning. You can see some of the swings he's taken are almost anger swings. You know, Springer, after he muffs a ball in center field, he comes back about 3 minutes later and hits a ball out of the park to tie the game again. And I think that's what you see when you have young guys. There's some competitive fire. They seem to know that they're in game five of the World Series, even though you wonder, like, do you guys understand what you're about to do here? In this, you know, in this city that has won two championships in the whole history of the city, the Rockets in 94 and 95, the football, they've never won anything. In baseball, they began this World Series never having won a World Series game, much less a World Series.
You know, in Alex Bregman's relatively brief time in the big leagues, I've mostly seen him from afar. I haven't seen him on a normal day-to-day basis, but really been struck by him in this series. Just the, you know, oozes confidence, very Dustin Pedroia like that way.
That's
you know,
a, that's
yeah, little guy with huge confidence. And you said they had huge confidence in him in that 10th inning moment he came through.
Yeah, A.J. Hinch's line is his confidence is his confidence. They mess around with him. He is Brian McCann, he said, he loves the game more than any other young player I've ever known in my life, and he's just a natural. You know, think about it. He's 2.5 years removed from LSU, and he looks like an experienced guy who's going to be. And he's a shortstop who's playing third and making play after play, throwing two guys out at home plate in this postseason. I mean, he is emerging on the biggest stage.
And not to be lost in the shuffle, Yuli Gurriel in the five spot tonight. You know, obviously there was a really difficult situation the other day, a really difficult decision right. For Rob Manfred. You know, Yuli was certainly apologetic for what had happened with that gesture, but comes through with that huge three-run home run off Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, he's got his there's such strength in him and such confidence. You know, they're a young team for the most part. Their main guys are young guys, but he's 33, you know, one of the most decorated players in Cuban baseball history, and just no moment seems too big for him.
Well, this is a big, big moment for the Houston Astros. They are now a win away from their first World Series championship in franchise history, and it's been quite an amazing run and quite an amazing World Series. They've won two of the most dramatic games we will ever see, so they're certainly they've earned it, Richard. They've earned to be in this spot right now going into Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, and you know, the other part of that is these two teams have done the sport proud. Every game has been must-watch TV. I've seen right. So many people from the world of politics, from the world of football, other things, tweeting like, this is must-see TV. CNN's media newsletter tonight saying just, oh, by the way, with everything that's going on in the world, you've got to be watching the World Series. And so in that way, it's a very cool thing to be part of. And I think when they're done, both teams are going to be proud that they put on a show for the world like this.
Absolutely. And you got to watch Game 6 Tuesday night on Fox. And we will be previewing that extensively on the travel day on Monday. Until then, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Richard Justice. I'm Anthony Cashman. This has been the Morning Lineup Podcast.